Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring Bonte Hill.
This was just embarrassing, Shasky.
Kate Scott.
Joe likes his coffee hot.
And Joe Shasky.
I want to go back to the playoffs!
This is the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Niners fans, what a difference a week makes. What a difference, everybody. What a difference 7 days can make playing at the same stadium where a week ago they were absolutely embarrassed by Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins. But as we talked about on Friday, boys, can't keep a good organization down. As my dad texted me last night right before I went to bed, said, Kate, proud organizations get embarrassed, and they do something about it. 24-16, the final, as the Rams fall to the 49ers down at Levi's Stadium. And just like that, boys, a whole new season. Bonte's not even wearing a shirt this morning. He's so excited. Joe, the Butcher Boy, Shasky's looking great in his red and gold. Good morning, gentlemen. Bonte, hell of a win last night down at Levi's.
You know, Kate, Shasky and I were off the post game yesterday on overtime. Whitey Gleason and JD did a great job for us. So I didn't get to get my little, oh, baby in last night because I'm fired up. I couldn't go to sleep. I got sick. I got me a nice little 5.5 hours. I know Shasky's bumped. He's drugged up right now, Kate. Big time win last night. There's a lot of question marks still, but I just want to shout out the offensive line and this defense. The defense flying around yesterday, a patchwork unit, and this offensive line, Shasky, they came to play and they neutralized the boogeyman. The boogeyman only had two pressures yesterday. Aaron
that,
Donald, the
How
big bad wolf, where was he at?
Ah, my God. How good does it feel to be a Niner fan today? I mean, look, 7 days ago, we were all ready to lose our mind. And rightfully so. I mean, honestly, rightfully so. I just look at what they did last night on that stage. Kyle Shanahan deserves so much credit for everything that he did last night as far as getting this team in a position to score early and often. I thought the very first drive of the game set the tone. And you just can't say enough about this defense. We're going to get into all of that today. I cannot wait to talk to Brian Baldinger about what the heck happened with this offensive line. How did they look so different last week to this week when they're facing one of the best players I've ever seen in my entire life, and they just completely erase him? The competent cornerback play, obviously Raheem Mostert gets hurt, and we see Jamichael Hasty, my guy, Jimmy Garoppolo looked really good at times, looked really sketchy at times, but this isn't about Jimmy Garoppolo today. This is about the fortitude that this organization went out and showed, and Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh getting criticized rightfully all last week, coming through with signature 2020 performances to save the season. I am so fired up. It is a new day in San Francisco.
New day, 3-3. That's all we talked about. We've been looking ahead, understandably. New England, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, the Rams knew that this was going to be an absolute juggernaut of a middle of the season for the 49ers, and knew that if they wanted to go into that with the confidence they would need to battle with those teams and with an actual opportunity 2-4 and 3-3, massive difference between those two. Picking up your first home win of the year, massive difference between being 0-4 at home and going on the road, guys. And it started for me on the very first drive last night, right? That was one of the things that we've talked about in all the home losses so far this season. First drive, they looked flat, right, in previous weeks. And last night, first drive, absolutely clicking, doing all the things, again, we talked about on Friday. Don't force it, Jimmy. Don't press. Just do all the little check downs and underneaths and wheel routes, all the things the Rams had been doing up until last night to be 4-1 on the season. I loved the chess match between Kyle and McVay, but it started on that very first drive. Just plowing down the field, getting every, it seemed like almost every single offensive guy touched the ball on that drive.
Kate.
7-0, boom, different 49ers team last night.
You know, Shanahan was in his bag yesterday, Shasky and Kate. He was in his bag on that first drive. And look, he got Jimmy comfortable by getting the ball out of his hands fast. And there weren't a lot of throws down the field. You saw the tight end screen to George Kittle, a nice little jet sweep to Debo, a couple wide receiver screens. He got the ball out. Hell, there was a couple throws. There was behind the line of scrimmage, and it got Mostert rolling. They got Mostert rolling on that drive where he was just running hard and running tough, Kate and Shasky. Yep. I love the scripted play to get right down the football field, and that was a quick drive. You look at the rest of the first half, a six-minute touchdown drive, a seven-minute, 16-second touchdown drive. I thought Shanahan called a really, really good game in that first half. That's probably his best game in 2020. And he got Jimmy comfortable. He got the offensive line comfortable. And he neutralized number 99 on that defense. I thought the opening drive was just textbook. That was the 2019 49ers, Shasky. We saw that opening drive last night.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And to give a little more context to what you're bringing up there as far as Jimmy Garoppolo and the throws down the field, or the lack thereof, I guess, 234 of the about 275 yards passing came after the catch, meaning it was short, controllable passes, and you allow your playmakers to go out and make plays. The Yak Boys, Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. But this is the beauty of what they did last night. They double-teamed Aaron Donald, which was obvious, and I loved how Chris Collinsworth kept pointing that out and how you don't want to allow Aaron Donald to go one-on-one because he's just going to destroy anybody. There were triple teams at times. You saw George Kittle even standing behind the left guard and the left tackle or the right guard and the right tackle to help out, and even Jimmy could feel the pressure in the pocket. But early in the game, they allowed Aaron Donald to like get a huge release and kind of feed off of his aggression early, and then they just slipped the little screen to George Kittle right underneath where Aaron Donald had came from the pressure side. So they were really understanding misdirection and how to get the ball out. And I mean, we can't talk enough about the physicality of Debo Samuel. If you were going to point to one play, obviously the run at the end is one that everyone's going to highlight. But let's not forget, early second play of the game, that end around where it looks like he goes down, he stays on his feet, he gets up and runs. I'm not saying it's the George Kittle play in New Orleans, but it's one of those plays that you can point to and say the game changed early, like right then and there. It's third and long. If he gets tackled right there, instead, it's flip the field. Let's go down. We're going to score a touchdown. That is the type of play that could change their season.
And how great was it, guys, that at the end of that play, because none of us knew if Debo was down or not, right?
Right. Exactly.
But the team to know, I don't know if it was Jimmy, I don't know if it was somebody on the offensive line, I don't know if it was Kyle screaming at him, but together, as a group, they sprinted their asses down the field.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
They got the snap off, so the Rams didn't have time to review the play. It's little things like that. Like you said, Joe, it was all the little things last night that proved the difference, especially in big division games, Bonte, between who's going to win and who's going to walk home losers.
No, you had to have that one. You had to have that one, Shasky, going to New England next week, knowing that the Patriots are a little beat up and they lose to the Broncos. But you're right, Shasky. It's all the little things running up to the line of scrimmage after that D-ball play, because I had no idea what was going on. There's some little things that bothered me. You have a quarter break at the end of the first quarter, and you come out, you call timeout. Kate, I'm a nitpick. I got to be that guy sometimes. I need this team to be perfect.
Tuesday?
All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer.
Well, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I appreciate it.
I agree with him. But, will you grant me this? You and I have argued about a lot of things, but we've argued a lot about, you know, who's the most important guy on the team and what makes this team go. Raheem Mostert is a beast. Now, I know he got hurt in this game. He is the straw that stirs the drink offensively. He enables them to do so many things formation-wise. He enables them to do so many things as far as opening things up for Kittle and these wide receivers on the outside. He is a top 7 or 8 running back in the game. He gets no respect just because he's 28 years old. If he was 22 or 23 years old, how would we be looking at Raheem Mostert around the league? We'd be saying, wow, he's on the same category as Christian McCaffrey. Every time he touches the rock, he can run a dude over, mm-hmm. he can stiff arm him, or he can get to the outside and go to the house. Raheem Mostert, he needs to get healthy. They desperately need him back. But my God, he changed this game early on when he went right at Jalen Ramsey on the edge and just plowed right through him. It was a tone-setting hit right mm-hmm. then and there. He had 17 carries before halftime.
Yep.
That's why they had a 21 point on the offensive side up on that scoreboard. Raheem Mostert is what helps this offense.
You know, Kate, Shasky brought that up a couple weeks ago, and I said, no, the quarterback's the most important. Quarterback is. But I admitted to him last night, I said, you know what? Mostert is the guy. He's the glue. He's the heart and soul outside of George Kittle on this offense. And you saw that in the first half. The tough yards. There was a second down run where he just kept his legs churning.
Good
and it
call.
Went from a Good third call. And it went from a 3rd and 5 to a 3rd and 2. And it's like, mm-hmm. oh, this guy wants it today. And he's mm-hmm. a guy, Kate, I think where Kyle Shanahan needs to treat Mostert like Terrell Davis. He needs 25-plus carries a game. Now, wow. he may get worn out. He may get hurt. Go down fighting with Raheem Mostert because the juice that he brings to the offense, it is different, Kate. It is totally different when Mostert is carrying the football and running through people. And that's what I loved about yesterday. It was a physical tone that the 49ers set against the LA Rams. And that's all we wanted to see this week.
Let's go.
And we said it. They said it. Pardon me. A little too excited. Rocking my 49ers swag this morning after that huge 24-16 win over the Rams that, thank goodness for Tony Dungy, right? Otherwise, the NBC crew last night was going to be screwed because all of us always love watching the who you picking right before they throw it to the broadcast, and every single person, understandably, with what the 49ers have showed versus what the Rams have showed the first 5 weeks of the season, understandably, everybody but Tony went with the Los Angeles Rams. But total team effort. And that's what Kyle Shanahan and every football coach everywhere preaches, right? The offense played great, whether it was Raheem Mostert, whether it was the offensive line, whether it was Jimmy having a bounce back week, whether it was George Kittle getting back involved. The defense stepped up.
Wow.
Weren't incredible. The defensive line still isn't there, but man, they did just enough to allow the corners, Jason Verrett and Emmanuel Moseley, to get back into things, and even special teams. After the break, we got to talk about what I thought was one of the biggest plays of the second half, right, guys? The Tavarius
yes.
Moore? We'll
hey,
get into
Kate,
that.
Kate,
go ahead, Kate, Joe.
We're burying the lead here. Something, a little package is on its way. It is already in route. We will talk about that.
Yes,
Bonte
that
in his little, like, whoa. I don't know, his what? Hugh Hefner outfit right now. I guess he's ready to get dressed in the package that is on its way. All right? We
Kate,
will tease.
Kate, did I not say the curse of Bonte
tuned.
Was real?
Stay
the curse
tuned.
Of Bonte
For
is real.
For all of you who maybe missed the 9 o'clock hour on Friday, my boys got into it, and it's going to bode well on this Monday morning. A Monday after
Let's
the 49ers
go.
Got back to 500, 3-3 on the season, first home win of the year. Whole new season now for the San Francisco 49ers. And it's a whole new week, week 2 for the Morning Roast. Bonte Hill, Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, and me, Kate Scott. And we'll be back after this right here on 95.7 The Game.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Mostert flanking Garoppolo. Hands it off to Samuel. We do that a lot. Run the wideouts, and Samuel thinks he was not tackled. He still takes off and gets all the way down to the 35-yard line, and everybody's moving in that direction. So even though it looked like Samuel was down, he might have been on top of somebody. If he didn't hit the ground, it's still alive, and it's a 35-yard gain.
That is Al Michaels from Sunday Night Football, and that is where it started, guys. First drive of the ball game last night, and just like Deebo Samuel, the 49ers were off and running. They weren't going to be held down by any close to plays last night. Offense, defense, special teams, every single aspect of the 49ers was clicking last night. And just like I was talking about right before the break, guys, I want to hear everybody's big game-changing moment last night. It could have been small, or it could have been a big moment like we just heard from Al Michaels and Debo Samuel guys. But for me, it always comes down to, as I said a couple minutes ago, the very little things, right? When you're a good team that's just trying to get over that hump like the 49ers were, it came down to the special teams play in the fourth quarter. Tavarius Moore on the punt, down in the football at the one-inch line.
Great call.
One-inch line, right? Because that was one of the things understandably, we weren't talking about that much last week because what's going on with Jimmy? The defense is in shambles. So you're not going to spend that much time on special teams. But when every part of the football team is clicking like that, and when you have a guy bombing down the field, getting tackled and somehow down in the ball at the same time, when that happened, especially because Trent Williams had been the latest 49er to go down with injury just a couple minutes before, right? They'd already lost Mostert and Tart in the third quarter, and now Trent Williams is going out because he might be concussed. And I'm thinking, oh, man, special teams got to do something big here, guys.
Right.
Tavarius Moore did it, Bonte.
That was
and
huge.
And the 49ers went on to win the ballgame.
That was huge because we talk about special teams being a weak spot for this football team. Mm-hmm. The first game of the season, you get your punt blocked. Last week, Miami has a fake punt that extends a drive and keeps your offense off the field. That special teams unit needed a play like that. That's a great call, Kate. I'm going to go with this one because they were 0-for-5 on fourth downs. It was a 4th-and-2 touchdown pass to George Kittle.
Yes.
Because they come out of the first quarter break. You know, they call a timeout. You're like, what is Jim Harbaugh back on the sidelines? What's going on here? Then they run it. Then they run it, Kate Chasky, on 3rd and 5. And I'm about to lose my mind thinking they're going to run a gun run on 3rd and 5. But that kind of let me know that Shanahan had his mind made up that he was going to go for it. He was going to go for the gusto. And 4th and 2, cover zero blitz. We all know what cover zero blitz is, right, Kate? Everybody's selling out the blitz to Jimmy Garoppolo. And he throws a dive, Kate, a confidence builder for Jimmy G.
Yep.
And George Kittle does what he does. Catches and runs, gets that yak yesterday, Kate. That play, Kate, 4th and 2, was huge for me. That was a turning point for me in yesterday's ball game.
What about you, Joe?
Well, I want to hear the sound on that one because on that particular play, the Jimmy Garoppolo play. Look, Jimmy didn't have a great game, and we're going to talk all week about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wait, Jimmy didn't have a great game. We can get back into that. Keep rolling.
No, but like honestly, like I thought that he looked at times a little rusty. I think he missed some targets, but this was an unbelievable throw. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not expecting to be perfect. I thought he played so much better than last week. I'm just saying on this particular play, he was a little shaky leading up to this where he hadn't really delivered the ball down the field.
Yep.
It was short, it was high, it was behind guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this throw was a, oh my God, you put it in a perfect spot, the Bill Walsh type of a throw, where the ball placement was so perfect, it led Kittle away from the defender and into the yak yard touchdown. So let's hear the sound on this one, because it was huge. Fourth down, I know what Bonte's thinking, he's texting me, oh my God, do not let Jimmy Garoppolo throw this ball right here. And it was a perfect throw by Jimmy Garoppolo. Team me up, Steven.
All right, so they line up to go for it on a 4th and 2. And they do. And the pass is caught, and on the run, it's Kittle off to the races for the touchdown.
So two things on this play, Kate. Number one, it's fourth down, and they're like kind of not really in a punt situation. They're not
in
a field goal spot.
Yeah,
the game is still like, you know, you feel like, oh, my God, you got to put a blow right across the chest of the L.A. Rams right here because it's kind of shaky. The defense has been out there, but they're getting stops. And
it's only 7-0.
It was such a huge momentum play for them. First off, for George Kittle to have that because he needed that so bad. And for Jimmy Garoppolo's confidence and for the coach to have the confidence in him to throw on fourth down, just such a big, big play that I think we're going to forget about 2, 3, 4 weeks from here. But those are the kind of plays, B, that you brought up right there. They had to have that right there.
Yep, exactly. No doubt, Kate. 4th and 2. You're, like you said, Shasky, no man's land. You just needed something. You needed, because it felt like the Rams were hanging around. The Rams were hanging around. Goff was off yesterday. He was off, and I thought, man, it's just a matter of time before he gets comfortable. The pass rush isn't getting there, but you know what? That leads us to the defense, and I know we're not going to go there quite yet, but Jason Verrett, Emmanuel Mosley.
How about
stand
those
up, boys?
How
stand
about that play?
How big about time them? Games.
Kate, how about that play in the end zone? So the Rams look like they're going to go for it on fourth down. Basically, if they don't get it, you assume the Niners are going to take the ball over at the 1-2 yard line.
Right.
They're going to be pinned up against it. They haven't been able to really move the ball in the second half. Verrett is guarding, I think it's Robert Woods toward the sideline.
Yep.
Peels off and makes an unbelievable interception. Not only is the catch fantastic, the footwork was out of this world, and it gives them the touchback, which moves the ball out to the 20. Like, that play was so big for this team.
And it wasn't just that play, Joe. I'm so glad you brought that up, because obviously that was the exclamation point. But for me, I'm keeping crazy, like, beautiful mind notes now, guys. You should see my notepads. I have them color coordinated. My Rams plays last night were in blue. My 49ers were in red. Like, there's crazy stuff going down. But that entire sequence that led up to the Verrett interception. The Greenlaw hit, right? Because right there, as soon as he made that hit, I was like, Rams aren't getting in the end zone. Yep. Like, that was the play where the Rams thought, he's going for the pylon, he's in. Great and point. Greenlaw, unlike any dude I've seen in the last couple of years, I know we all remember the Seattle hit last year, but that is, I mean, we all watch 500 football games a weekend. That is so difficult to do at any level because both guys, right, head full of steam coming out. Usually the running back gets just enough to fall into the end zone, but Greenlaw just straight knocked him out of bounds.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Greenlaw here. Look, the rat is on the table, Guru. Somewhere you're listening, and I know you're hearing me right now. Quan Alexander, love the guy. He's got to go. Like, you have got to play Dre Greenlaw. No, I mean it, man.
That's a legendary play.
Can we keep him around with all the injuries? Keep him around?
I'm moving off of him right now. First off, Greenlaw's a better football player than him right now. And second off, I need some salary cap relief. I'm moving him to Pittsburgh or I'm moving him to Houston.
He's been gone for a week. He's out. Get rid of him.
He is. He's gone. No, I'm trading him away.
He's kind of right, Kate. Quan has been a disappointment this
he's
year.
He's a liability. Did you see any?
He's missed a lot of tackles.
Exactly.
He's over-pursuing. And Greenlaw, I think the experience that Greenlaw got, this is where I talk to Shasky about this all the time, Kate, where this season for this team, for the Ayuks and Debo.
I'm not part of all the shows, actually. These two never stop talking to each other. I'm actually happy that I'm left out sometimes. Yeah. Keep going, Bonte.
My wife said, don't fatigue Kate in the first 2 weeks.
Exactly. I appreciate that there's also a private text there in addition to us.
Before it's too late, and then she'll opt out.
Exactly.
You're going to drive Kate away. She's going to be doing national hockey games again instead of waking up with Juju Brody.
You guys got anything for the Sharks? Any NBC games coming out here? Is Randy taking a break?
Right. Eric just retired too, so Kate's looking
Does Doc need to go hang out with his horses for a little while?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? No, he's right, though. Dre Greenlaw, the experience he got last year in those big games is monumental. He played so well down the stretch for that team. The Monday night Seattle game, we all know about the tackle in Week 17. Mm-hmm. And that play, I'm glad you brought that up, Kate. That was so underrated because Daryl Henderson was running hard on that drive.
He was running hard.
He wasn't the same after that, right? Not only did he not get in the end zone, but you saw him come up a little gimpy.
Yeah.
Very next play, could have hit, I think it was Cooper Kupp. Emmanuel Mosley got just enough to kind of just make the ball not sit exactly as Kupp wanted. And then on the next play, Verrett. So that sequence right there proved to me every single player's in. Just the same way that the first offensive drive, it was Ayuk, it was Samuel, it was Kittle, it was Mostert. Everybody was getting involved. Same thing with the defense. So total team win. That made it 21-9 because otherwise it could have been, 21-16, just like that, going into the fourth quarter. Completely different ball game, guys. So massive stand there. Okay, we got to take a break. We come back. Let's listen to some sound because Kyle Shanahan was just another one of the – Jimmy got it all week. The offensive line got it all week. I mean, we were talking. Who do you want, Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan on Friday? So let's hear from the coach when we come back. We also have some George Kittle sound. Highlights, obviously, all morning long. Brian Baldinger coming up at 8. Jerry Rice at 8:45. And looking forward to interacting with all of you all day long as well. The number, 888-957-9570. That's the Chilton Auto Body text line. And also – our hotline, 888-957-9570. It's week two of the Morning Roast. Bonte Hill, Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky, and Kate Scott with you right here on 95.7 The Game.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
And we're going to toss it to Samuel, and Debo Samuel is going to thread his way and bang his way for a first down. And that will write a finish to it. So they run that play a couple of times tonight with success. Debo Samuel on a third down and 7 picks up 11 yards, and they can run out the clock.
And they did just that as the 49ers knock off the Los Angeles Rams 24-16 for their first home win of the year. and get back to 3-3 on the season. This segment is presented by Golden State Open, 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. Welcome to week two of the Morning Roast. New lineup here on 95.7 The Game. It is Bonte Hill, Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, and me, Kate Scott, with you now from 6 to 10 every day because, well, Dan Dibley and Lorenzo Neal are just too damn tired of waking up so early, understandably. 10 to 2 is the new show, Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. And every Monday, like today, Lorenzo Neal going to be with those three for all 4 hours. Then Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 2 to 6. The Football Hour with Sean Salisbury, 6 to 7. And Covey and John Dickinson from 7 to 10. But guys, before we get into the Shanahan sound, because there's a lot of it, and it is great. Also got Kittle and Jimmy, a number of guys spoke after the big 49ers win last night. I am bearing the lead, as Joe mentioned in our very first segment, because you all can't see, and probably you're happy that you can't see, because one of the three of us does not have a top on today. It is not me. I have a 49ers jersey on. But Bonte is rocking. It looks like a velour robe, Joe, because I believe he's going to be wearing something that he's not going to be too happy about 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, he thinks he's Tony Soprano right here, like walking out in the robe to go get the newspaper and his beautiful mansion in New Jersey, but yep, looking at the feds, looking at him, looking at him, looking at them.
Go hang out with the Ducks.
But before we get to that, before we get to exactly what Bonte, you shouted out Golden State Lumber, and I want to give them a little love here. Went Saturday out to Bay Shore, checked out some windows, got some new doors from them, got the lava rock treks ordered for the back deck and the patio. Oh, so I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Go out. They have got so many different designs and so many different styles out there. Check it all out. I'm telling you, for a novice like me who hires professionals, who knows nothing about wood or windows or doors, go there and go see my guys. I'm telling you, Golden State Lumber. Second, we made a bet on Friday. You know, all week, Bonte says, I'm waking up with cold sweats. Aaron Donald, the boogeyman. Oh, my God. 99. I said, you know, put your money where your mouth is. All right? Put your money where your mouth is. Let's do an Aaron Donald bet. I didn't take points. I didn't need no spread. Okay? And I went straight up and said, if the Niners win, Bonte, you are wearing an Aaron Donald jersey. And since I didn't take any points in any spread, even though we were not the favorite, the 49ers,
no,
I went an extra step, and I got him the blue, brand-new Aaron Donald
nice
jersey in an XL. I said, B, are you an XL or a 2XL? He said an XL. I said, okay. And I had to go a little
farther. Not believing him? Not believing him on the size?
Well, here's what I was thinking. Like, I'm thinking, you know, down the line, there might be another Aaron Donald bet. So if I have to put it on, it'll look like a moo-moo on me.
Right.
So I figured I might as well get something one size down so at least it doesn't go onto the ground when I go to stick it on. But I got him the ugliest hat known to man. It is like a tie-dye NFL
yes
Rams hat.
The ones that they've been rocking on the sideline right now.
It is horrific.
What
I mean, I'm
are
saying
those?
It's not great. It is old tie-dye. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my hippies on Haight and Ashbury.
Yep.
Old tie-dye, and it just says L.A. with the little Ram logo over it. So Bonte is going to be going to the grocery store. He is going to be going to wherever the heck he goes to get gas or whatever. Anna going to get Anna some food or getting himself some food.
Picking up diapers. I mean,
exactly.
He's going to be getting diapers real soon because I believe yesterday was a baby shower. We were getting lots of not too happy texts leading up to the game last night from the baby shower, Bonte?
From the baby shower.
Okay.
Well, let me just, let me
congratulations
first
again, yeah, by the way, from folks who are just joining us.
Thank
Anna,
you.
Bonte's better half.
Due with
the baby girl in December.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know what? I don't even know where to start there. First of all, the jersey. It feels like, you know, last February, I'm rocking a Patrick Mahomes jersey for the Niners losing the Super Bowl. I get booed at Chase Center. People are ready to fight me for wearing that jersey. Bonte, how could you?
That was actual sound from the game. That was when Bonte walked into the
exactly
Chase Center. Yep. There it is. Yep. It was very similar to Joe Lacob and Rick Barry a number of years ago. People.
Come on, people.
This is crazy.
You're on fire.
Come
very
on,
similar. Yes.
Oh, man. So, Kate, you know, I'm sitting at the baby shower. First of all, it starts off, and I'm going to apologize to Daryl the Guru Johnson right now, because a couple months ago, he was honest. He goes, you know, Bonte, these stores like 7-Eleven are giving priority to online orders over people who are in the store. First of all, why are you ordering online at 7-Eleven? That's odd to me.
So, yeah, that's impressive.
I'm woke.
Twice. And so I apologize, Guru, because what I'm about to say, I just apologize. I said, look, it's the new generation. This is how you got to do things, Guru. You got to wake up. You're too old, man. You got to get out
of those steps. Bonte, you are correct.
Hey, and you know what? I go to a name coffee good shop because they may want to sponsor us one day, so I'm not going to name them. Mm-hmm. So, I go to a coffee shop, and for the second time this week, Kate and Shasky, I order something, and I'm in there for about 12 minutes just waiting on one drink, one drink that takes about 2 seconds to make. These people are coming in out of nowhere, just picking up orders after orders after orders. And so that's how the day starts. Then I got to run to Target. Target wasn't bad. Target actually was great service. I was in and out of there. Boom, bam.
Yep. Oh, we spend shower. Too much money.
Do we need the two-minute drill sounder on this story? Or, right? Where are we going here?
I haven't even started yet with the baby
shower. Wrap it up. Get to the shower, Bonte. Right, we got a 49ers win to discuss.
The baby shower wasn't bad at all. It actually wasn't bad.
Good.
However, I was like Dave Chappelle on the Chappelle Show. What he was what? Tyrone Biggums? Fiending for dope? That's how I was fiending for football yesterday. I got nothing yesterday. I got like 15 seconds of Bucks and Packers.
Oh,
somebody calls
man.
Me to open a bottle up. It's 10-0 Packers. I go back upstairs. It's 14-10 Bucks. And I'm thinking, what did I miss? It was Bonte this, Bonte that, Bonte this, Bonte that. But the ladies had a great time. The ladies all had a great time. Etta had a great time. But there's a... I got so many diapers. I don't know what to do with them.
You're going to use all of them probably in the first week, Bonte, right?
My
all
Lord.
Your texters and callers know.
And what, Kate, to put a big bow on this thing, the only online order that you need to know takes priority over everything out there is the Aaron Donald jersey that's arriving because you're going to have to wear it with that god-awful hat because you lost, my friend.
Yes.
You know
my
what?
Niners won. I had faith when no one had faith. Kate jumped on board with me. The fans were behind us. When you have faith like I have faith and you're a longtime faithful,
you could see
in the middle of the storm that the rainbow was coming the next day. And the Niners came out and salvaged their season. What an unbelievable win. I can't wait for the next Rams week because you'll be wearing an Aaron Donald jersey
and
the ugliest L.A. hat of all time.
You know what? And I'll wear it with pride. Knowing that the Niners stood up on national TV and got a damn victory.
That's my guy.
And
there
played
we go.
Physical football.
There
and
we
ran
go.
The ball down their throats, controlled the clock for over 37 minutes. I needed that in my life. I needed it, Kate. And so I will rock that jersey with pride. And I warned you, Kate, when you gave that great pregame speech. Shout out to the 530 on the Chilled Autobody text line because he's right. KT Scott's pregame speech on Friday got the whole damn Bay Area rocking.
And the butcher.
And ready to go.
Channeling
and
my partner.
You know what? Kate, you were right. And I told you, the curse of Bonte, when I make this bet, I knew what was going to go down. Bet against the Niners. Bet against the Niners. Dog them. Talk about the boogeyman because I know they are listening to the armchair quarterbacks like myself.
Are you listening
to
this?
I mean, no problem rocking a jersey.
Dude, Joe, I am just happy that this means that Bonte may have a shirt on the next time after the Rams game. Because our boy Bonte just in a freaking robe with the front open this morning. I'm just happy because he got up. Between the last commercial break, and I was very concerned that I was going to see more Bonte than I needed
right?
to see. Shall we get to some sound, guys?
Yeah,
shall we get to some Kyle Shanahan
Kyle
sound?
Shanahan was wearing this in a black hat.
Speaking of hats.
Speaking of hats. Let's get right into Kyle, because I'm so happy for Kyle Shanahan.
Let's get into it. We were talking about him all week last week. Does he trust his quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo? Has he lost his mojo? Is Sean McVay a better play caller than Kyle Shanahan? I think Kyle said... You know what? I'm about tired of this discussion. It's time for a reset. And his 49ers are now 3-3 on the season after knocking off Sean McVay and those Rams 24-16. So let's listen to some post-game sound. And let's start with the fact that, guys, last week he said, simple. It's simple, but it's harder to accomplish. He simply needed his best players to play their best. And he said he finally felt like that happened last night.
Yeah, I'll see when I look on the tape, but I mean, I thought our whole team played pretty well. I mean, that was a real good team win, I thought. I mean, our defense played their ass off, obviously. You know, our goal was to get more runs than the other team. I knew both teams were trying to run the ball, and I think just a whole team for us to get 37 runs there when you're not just killing them with run average says a lot about how everybody played.
Just what you guys were talking about in the very first segment. 49ers, we've been talking about it actually all year. Needed to get back to who they were last year, right? And they were a team that was running the football, which is, again, easier said than done, especially when your offensive line is banged up. But the offensive line, watch out. Watch your feet. Here comes KT stats, right, as you said last week, Joe?
Uh-oh.
The O-line helped the 49ers rush for 122 yards on those 37 attempts last night. And this was the big thing, getting to your Aaron Donald's conversation. No sacks on 33 pass attempts. That blew me away. I had to read that about 3 or 4 times this morning.
Bonte, didn't you think that Trent Williams specifically had his best game of the season? And Ben Garland was awesome, too. That's another guy who had a – we don't talk about center play, but they were awesome.
Calf injury for Ben Garland. I hope he's all right. Didn't get a report about that last night. I just know he suffered a calf injury, and Grasso was in the game later. But, Ned, Trent Williams was dominant. I thought Lincoln Tomlinson, he usually struggles against Aaron Donald. He held his own. Brunskill was really good. McGlinchey had his best game. And you see how fired up he was after the game?
Cool, my
Lord, he's about to kill Grasso. We need Grasso next week, possibly against New England. And he's headbutting him like crazy.
Yeah, it was like the Heath Shuler headbutting the wall in FedEx Field or the old Washington Redskins.
Gus Frerotte.
Gus Frerotte. What did I say, Heath Shuler?
Heath Shuler's a great pull. Shout out Tennessee.
Yeah, number 21, the quarterback. Yeah, that's right. It was Gus Frerotte. But no, but seeing McGlinchey celebrate like that, look, I mean, after the week that this offensive line had where they were getting absolutely filleted, they came out and dictated their will. And it was obvious they were getting yardage in the run game. Obviously, when McKinnon went in there and Raheem Mostert went to the bench, I got worried. I really did. I got worried. But Jamichael Hasty came in, and this young man, the vision, the cutback, the little jump cut, reverse field, they were sealing on the front end and on the back end, which is one thing I think the Rams do very, very well on their blocking schemes. And look, again, Jimmy played really good at times, and he didn't play great at times. You know, like you got a mixed bag with Jimmy Garoppolo. So they absolutely needed the run game to stay on schedule and down in distance. And I thought in the second half, when you know you need to ice that game out, they got some big-time runs from Jamichael Hasty. But it was because the offensive line was allowing him to get to that second level.
And I know we were talking about how I don't know if we like the fact that Mike McGlinchey is talking about the haters on Twitter and he's paying attention to that last week. But then last night I was thinking, you know what? Maybe they just need a little kick in the pants. Maybe they needed to hear that noise just for a couple weeks to get them reset, to get them fired up, because they are what they showed last night. Trent Williams is an all-pro tackle who, as we heard on the broadcast, is figuring it out. Yes, he played in Shanahan's system before, but I love the report from Cal alum Michelle Tafoya, Go Bears, talking about the fact that he said, how does that compare to the offense you're running now, and made the car comparison, right? I'm sure everybody heard it. Like, this is a car with a new paint job and new rims, and it's been raised, and like completely different offense than he played. So there are a few similarities, but it's taken a while. So I was okay with them listening to the noise last week if that got them pumped up to perform like they did last night.
No doubt.
I was gonna say, one thing about Michelle Tafoya, like when you watch the Sunday Night Football broadcast, it's just so much more polished and nuanced than all the other broadcasts that are out there. Al Michaels will bring something up. Something happens immediately. He'll bring something up, goes straight to Michelle Tafoya, and they've already got a piece ready to go on that specific nugget or nuance, and then she's rattling it off right on the spot, like almost as if they planned it beforehand, but you could tell this is in-game production level stuff.
But they
that
do also
doing.
Plan it beforehand. John, I know. I'm so glad you bring that up, because it is. That's why Sunday Night Football is one of, if not the best broadcast, because that is stuff that they've been talking about since Wednesday. And what do we want the graphic to look like?
So
and how do you want to run it? And that just speaks to Al Michaels being great, too, because you got to know what your sideline reporter wants to talk about. You got to know when they want to talk about it. And yeah, just splendid production quality last night.
How about the cable car? How about the cable car graphic with the Niners and all the injuries and the different cornerback combinations, the quarterback combinations?
Then
they got
ladies.
Fred Warner Jr., who we haven't even brought up yet in the first hour.
Oh, dude,
Fred Warner Jr., what is he running? An average of 20.7 yards per tackle? He's going sideline to sideline. Who comes up with this stuff? But like you said, Kate, it's the broadcast. It's also Chris Collinsworth, who works with PFF, Pro Football Focus. He is a madman in his lab. What was it, Inside the NFL or Real Sports or something? They showed his lab. The guy had like 9 screens, all these computer monitors, color codes like you got in your notes, KT Scott. Collinsworth is one of the best in the game, man. Yep. I really like his preparation as well.
Okay, all that's true, okay? But I
There's
watched
big butt
two
coming.
Graphics
Watch
last
out, Bonte.
Night. Here we go. Watch this big butt. But they played a graphic last night. PFF, you know, Andre Whitworth is number one out of 34 tackles in the league right now at left tackle. Fred Warner, the fourth best linebacker by PFF standards. Name me the three in front of him. I'm sorry.
I saw you upset about that, Joe.
He was really upset. Aaron Donald, the number two ranked D tackle. Who's ahead of Aaron Donald? Like, give me a break on Fred Warner. And I think this needs to be highlighted. Patrick Willis is one of the greatest football players I've ever seen in my entire life. This is not a knock on Patrick Willis. I am propping him up. I love Patrick Willis. He's one of my favorite players of all time. And it's not like, oh, you know, I really like Derek Lavelle, you know, when I do my little shtick of loving every Niner. I truly believe Patrick Willis would have been an all-pro in any era. Fred Warner is on a Patrick Willis level. This dude is a beast. He was everywhere on the field last night. I think he had a dozen tackles before halftime, going left, going right, stuffing the middle, playing, dropping in coverage. Fred Warner is unbelievable. Where would this team be without the 23-year-old who went from being a safety at BYU to one of the best middle linebackers in the game over the last 10 years? Like, that is not hyperbole. He is on the Patrick Willis level right now.
You got his jersey yet?
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. I got to wait till this Aaron Donald one comes through, and then next check, I will get the throwback 54 all-white vapor, baby. Let's go.
He's already in your top five? He's already in top five favorite 49ers, Shasky?
No, he's not top five favorite 49ers ever, but he's definitely in my top 10 already.
He's working his way up. Okay, so 54 had another great game last night.
He was awesome.
You know who else did? Number 19. So good to have Debo back. And I'm wondering if we're going to start calling it like the 49ers flip play. Is it going to become a thing? Because that little flip pass to Debo to seal it. Here's Kyle Shanahan on number 19, Debo Samuel.
That last run that Debo had was as impressive of a run as I've ever seen. I mean, I thought it was, I thought we blocked it for about 7 yards and then three guys just tried to bring it on Debo and he just stayed up and finished the play and got three more and allowed us to go out there and take a knee. So it was very impressive all day on that, and especially the way he finished. I thought it was his best one.
So, Kate, on those sweep-type plays, and Bonte, I'm sure you can elaborate on this one, but, like, on those plays where you coming around and it's you and either safeties or linebackers or somebody's going to try to wipe you out, it's two dudes running at each other or three guys running at one at full speed. Matt Breida was really good at that the first couple of years. And then he got whapped and he got hit near the sideline and he just – not that he tapped out. He just that play was a little too much for him.
Right.
Debo coming around the corner looking to lay hat on people. You either have that toughness or you don't. And him getting that first down at the end of that game, sealing the victory, do you know how difficult that run was for him to finish it the way he did? I mean, B, explain how difficult that run is when you're coming around the edge and you see a safety and linebacker trying to take your head off.
What's up with Debo?
It's probably more difficult because everybody in the building knows that Kyle Shanahan will probably not let Jimmy Garoppolo throw a pass. So they know something is coming in the run game. To run that flip play, which they run into the ground over and over and over. I'm like, Shanahan, don't you want to save it for a quarter and a half? He loves that play. It's a staple in his offense now. It is a tough run, but it's a tough guy in Debo Samuel. And this is why I fell in love with this guy long before he was a 49er. I mean, Tommy Call, our digital reporter, Tommy Call, Kate, you'll meet him soon. He breaks out all the college stats. He's sending me all these notes on quarterbacks and receivers who I should watch. He said this guy, Debo Samuel,
where do you think he gets all his Twitter
material from? Is the guy. Debo Samuel, I'm telling you, Kate, this is a guy where I go out and buy his jersey. If I had to go buy a jersey, I'd buy number 19, and it's just good to see him healthy. He doesn't get phased at all. Jalen Ramsey tried to talk some trash to him. He just turned around, walked back to the huddle, was like, I'm going to bring you to smoke soon. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, Jalen Ramsey, number 20. I'm coming for you. And he trucked him early in that game to set a tone. I love me some Debo. That's a big boy run that he had yesterday.
Kate, is that your favorite guy? I mean, I know you love Kittle, but is that your favorite guy on the offense right now? Because you know I'm a Raheem Mostert guy. That's
I love my number 44. I told you guys last week. I love me a fullback. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was very quiet last night, but he was a part of the block that kept Aaron Donald away from Jimmy G. Mm-hmm. So 44 is actually my favorite guy. Okay, we're up against it. So let's hear one more from Shanahan because this, to me, was the most important. We spent so much of last week, all of us, everybody, whether you were on the radio or not, talking about the embarrassing loss to Miami. And Kyle
we always have a pretty big sense of urgency.
There we go. It's okay. Kyle was asked if that fueled some of their fire last night. I'm excited about it too. Go ahead, Kyle.
We always have a pretty big sense of urgency, but I think when you get embarrassed like we did last week, you know, when you get embarrassed like that, you can find out a lot about your team. And, you know, we came in Monday and it was a hard day, but usually when stuff like that happens, you know, guys either give in and because it gets too hard, and they try to hide and point fingers a little bit and just go through the motions, or guys try to step it up and get better. And I thought we had some good meetings on Monday, but you really don't know until you see guys on the field on Wednesday. And I was very impressed with the character of our team and just some of the just how the players carried themselves and the way they came out to practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and really the way they responded to all of us getting embarrassed. They tried to get better this week and not worry about anything else. And usually when you do that, you can put together those type of practices, usually the results are better. And I'm glad that they were, because I thought they really earned it throughout the week and today.
You know, one of the things that they did really well in this game was they didn't have the pre-snap penalties. I think it was one false start by Bourne. I believe it was Kendrick Bourne started a little early. All of the various formations, man in motions, things like that, and they didn't have any real gaffes that set them back. Maybe Ayuk had one, but like they kept running that same play that they did with Marquise Goodwin a couple of years ago, where he'd go into the backfield and then go out on that little like swing pass, and they kept running it over and over and over again. That's a difficult concept as far as all that pre-snap movement and motion. And for them to not have any pre-snap penalties was absolutely massive. And they got the D-line of the Rams to jump off sides on multiple hard counts. Like, they look so much more buttoned up in this game, and it goes back to Shanahan.
It goes back to Shanahan, and they got back to the basics last year. They held on to the football. You talk about those drives in the first half. The 10-play, 87-yard drive that took off 6 minutes off the clock. 13-play, 75 yards right before halftime that took off 7 minutes and 16 seconds off the clock and slowly took the soul away from the L.A. Rams. And that kept their defense off the field. So when you got in that second half, they were able to bend, 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 but they didn't break. I thought overall it was very good game plan by Kyle Shanahan on offense.
As my dad texted me last night before I went to bed, boys, proud organizations get embarrassed and then do something about it. Here's what's coming up on the game today, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Cannot wait to talk to former offensive lineman Brian Baldinger at 8 o'clock. What did he see? What was the difference between last night's performance from this O-line and the past 2 weeks? Jerry Rice coming up at 8:45. Just going to talk to Jerry about everything, obviously. And the two-minute drill, everything you need to know, because there was also a Game 7 last night and another on Saturday. Everything you need to know about the world of sports coming up right after the break. Chilton Auto Body's open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options. Along with free pickup and delivery, Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. 49ers back to 500. We're talking about it all morning right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.